It's time for the Access of Easy podcast, the weekly technology digest that keeps you ahead of the curve. Brought to you by EasyDNS.com.
Welcome back, everybody, to the Access of Easy podcast. This is number 387. My name is Joey. That's Len. Len, I just came inside from walking my dog. Never a good sign that I'm walking my dog for the first time at 6:30. I've shoveled three times in the last 24 hours or so. And I think probably tomorrow, for the first time in my life, I'm going to go do some snowblower maintenance and get some of that 50-to-1 oil to put in my snowblower and use it for the very first time. I've had a snowblower and never used it. And after today, I can't do another day of shoveling 20 more centimeters on Saturday we're supposed to get.
You know, the funny thing, where, I mean, I shoveled once only and it just took care of it. And my snowblower, I still haven't used it in a few years. I was contemplating picking it out today, but I just kept going. It was thick and it was heavy, but
yeah,
whatever. I was doing that for lunch.
Yeah.
For a meeting at one.
It's thick and heavy, like a Jenny Craig meetup attendee. So let's go with the usual things here. Let me pull up my newsletter. Last week's quote: "For life makes no mistakes and always gives man that which man first gives himself." That was by Neville Goddard. No one got it. Great name, by the way, Neville Goddard. This week's quote: "My experience is that average scientists will tell you what they know. Extraordinary scientists tell you what they don't know." If you know who that was by, without Googling it, obviously. You can only look it up in the encyclopedias in your basement or on the shelf in your doctor's office. Put it in the comments. You get half of your next round of renewals, I should say. Half is not good enough. It's for the full renewal cost on EasyDNS, so you can't beat that. Len, six stories tonight? We're working extra time here?
Last week was a shorter one because we had four, so it makes sense to bring a six to average it out to five a week. So I have no qualms with this.
Let's do it. Anytime I can hear the word qualms, it's a good day. So let's get after it here.
It's a very good day. You shoveled twice and getting the snowblower ready. I can't imagine starting that after a few years of not. Hopefully.
Oh, man. Dude, do you know this thing about turning snowblowers sideways before you start them?
No, I have no idea. Mine's a little electric one, so I have no idea about
this. My father-in-law tells me I should turn it sideways before I start it. And I'm not sure why or what the significance of that might be, but I might call him in the morning and see what he's talking about.
Give it
anyway. Yeah, this is not Access of Snowblowers. It's Access of Easy. So let's go ahead here.
Let's talk about Washington Post that wrote a piece on how the UK government is trying to force Apple's hand to give them blanket access to the encrypted data for Apple cloud users. And they apparently don't just want the information for people residing in the UK. No, they want worldwide access. So if you're a Apple cloud user and you're using the encryption, this could certainly piss you off, this story. So anybody that has been using the Apple cloud has been posting sensitive information should be wondering what's going on here. And Apple responded to the request, and they're saying that the privacy that they adhere to is a fundamental human right. That's what they're saying. And that they also say that they will never build a backdoor in any of its products. So that there's going to be some barriers here for them to adhere to what the UK government wants. Furthermore, the request from the UK government may not be lawful. It may not be exactly true. Whatever. I mean, they could do what they want as the government, but I guess rules for thee, but not for me. Anyways, Apple, for what people are... I mean, I'm not an Apple user, so I had to learn this. They use something called Advanced Data Protection, ADP. And apparently this is the end-to-end encryption that enables you to save your data and to have the idea that it's safe and secure. Apparently this is an opt-in service, too. I had no idea. But what's Apple going to do? Well, they're simply just not going to allow people in the UK from opting in moving forward. And that may be one way to adhere to everything and make everybody happy in the end, except for the people who want to store their information in a secure manner, and the people for living in the UK. Nonetheless, Apple, they've gone through this process before. We have the San Bernardino shootings, I think in 2016, we've had a few of these over the years, and always the requests have gone unheard. And Apple's never given in and provided a backdoor. The FBI had to find ways to get into computer. I think they talked to people in Israel to hack into the iPhone to get access that way. But Apple's been steadfast. They don't have a backdoor. At least they claim not to. And yes, who knows? Really, like, who the heck knows? But furthermore, I mean, if you even want to go further, would the United States even allow the company Apple to operate within their shores, within their country, and not have a backdoor and give them access to it? So maybe, you know, in high-profile cases, they could ask Apple. Apple could put on the charade. But in reality, who the heck knows? There may be some backdoor that exists, and maybe the government has that. So all this to say is, don't rely on this. Rely on your own servers if you're going to store something of value. And that's the only way you can sleep well at night. I have nothing else to add.
Apple will help you unlock a phone in certain situations if you're law enforcement. There's some precedent for that. But the idea that they're going to give you the encryption key or a backdoor to the encryption is completely ridiculous. And, you know, I think the most noteworthy thing here is that it's in bold in this, like, the third or fourth paragraph, but I'll pull it up here. The law, known by critics as the Snooper's Charter, makes it criminal to reveal that the government has even made a demand like this. So you can't even talk about how the government is making a demand of this nature without being prosecuted or potentially being prosecuted. The UK and Europe writ large, not a serious place. That's a place where you can rape kids for 30 years and not have any consequences. But if you talk about the rape of kids that went on for 30 years, you could go to jail. That's ridiculous, right? I don't think anyone in their right mind looks at that situation and goes, yeah, this is a place that understands rule of law and has their priorities straight. They don't. And, you know, there's no reason given in the article, but how many times have we talked about this idea that governments demand backdoor access to all information possible at all times, blanket, no questions asked, under the guise of what, Len? In this case, it's especially perverse, protecting kids. There's words I would use on our show that I will not use on this show, but these people can rot for this request and rot for the way that they've prioritized everyone except kids, unless it happens to be a way to get everyone's user data at all times without them knowing. There's no words for this that I'm willing to share on this program.
I'd love to know the words that you would share about the next story about PlayStation. Their network was down.
I'm a survivor. I'm a survivor of this. I'm a survivor.
I don't know about other
people. Do you know how brutal it is? Listen to me. Listen to me. This story. Do you know how brutal it is after a hard week of work and podcasting and a newborn baby to like, with you and your buddies who have been who've known each other for 35 years, okay? Like, I may as well have been in vitro with these guys. I don't remember not knowing them. When we want to hop on to COD for double XP weekend on a Friday night, and I get down to my PlayStation at 7:30 or 8 o'clock, I got my tall boy, and I just want to hop on and chat with the guys and lose a bunch of games to a bunch of sweats playing Call of Duty, and I can't do it. And worse, I mean, I'm kind of getting ahead of myself here. I don't want to cut your legs off from under you on the story. Worse, there was no communication from PlayStation or Sony on what the cause was.
They tweeted out, they said they were...
At the time, there was nothing. For days, nothing. And, like, that's ridiculous. No. I pay, like, $150 a year or something, maybe more, for a Sony online membership. And they can't even tell you what's up. You got to go to Reddit and Twitter and God knows what else, you know, Blue Cry and all this other stuff that's out there. Anyway, go ahead, read the story. I was really pissed off about this.
Like, have we heard of an official reason?
No.
There's speculation it could have been a DDoS attack. That's the speculation, but nothing has been proven or provided to us. So really, it could be anything. And I would suggest anybody that has a PlayStation Network account to change your password.
Totally. Because
if it was a compromise and they shut things down, you want to make sure that your password has been changed to a very strong, like, something that can't be predicted. So random letters, characters, capitals, all that crap. So that's just my suggestion for anybody that has an account with the PlayStation Network. There was also, I'm not sure if you took advantage, but Krispy Kreme was offering a free donut for all people that were infected. I don't know if it was just in the United States.
Is there Krispy Kremes around us here in Ontario? I don't know of any.
Well, closer to me than to you, there's one in Northeast Mississauga.
Oh God, I'm not driving.
The only one I'm aware of. That's there could be more, but
Cafe Bafico makes better donuts than Krispy Kreme anyway here in Hamilton. Shout out to those guys.
I'm not sure if you remember when it first opened here, but the lineups were like
it was huge. Yeah, it was huge. Yeah, the Krispy Kreme glazed donut, the original glazed donut they sell, is truly one of the best like traits in terms of consistency. Yeah.
And when you get it, when it's just freshly made, you know, anyways. So, yeah, I don't know if they did offer those free donuts here or for free donut here, but either way, nonetheless. Sony, they gave some compensation for this, right? So I think they extended people's accounts or something like that. Oh, they gave something that, as a way, here's a carrot to enjoy. What alternative do you have? You invested the hundreds of dollars to buy the console. Probably hundreds of dollars to buy games, multiple.
Buddy, it's thousands. You can't. The console was $700. A game is another $100. The online membership's another $100. The controller's another $100. It's so like a boat. You don't bust out another $1,000 to play games. This is a great example of a you will own nothing and be happy story, by the way. Because thanks to DRM and digital copies of everything, you can't play any of the games you actually bought. So like, I wanted to play NCAA football because I couldn't play COD. I couldn't load the online dynasties that I had, the cloud saved dynasty modes that I had, because I couldn't get to the cloud. So I'm playing like a peon offline with the old rosters. And it's like, man, I bought all this, but what did I really get? I didn't get anything. And so now I'm like doing this double take. And you and I have talked about this before. Like, I kind of think I have to buy physical media now in a lot of ways. You know, I'm kind of leaning that direction. I wasn't a week ago, but I am now. Kind of sucks. And like, don't forget too that like most people too, if you own a PlayStation and let's say you own the digital only copy and you have like a PS Plus membership that allows cloud streaming, you can stream games with zero latency basically. And so you may not even have the game on your system. You may even stream the game. If you're one of those people, the thing was a brick for you. It was a nightlight. That's all it was doing that night. Terrible.
You know when you buy a physical copy, when you do decide if you part ways with that game, you could sell it. When you don't have it, when you have the digital license to the game.
Totally.
So you're kind of stuck. This is the way of doing things. And there are some consoles out there. PlayStation 2, I think, offers it where it's digital only. There's no disc version available.
PlayStation 5, not PS2. Not PS2. PS5. You said PS2.
PS5, yeah. Sorry. So, yeah, I mean... 16-bit consoles all the way. You have the cartridge. You can't take that away from you.
Now, you do have to spend most of your night blowing on it, but at least it'll probably work once you figure it out.
Yeah, if you're not hyperventilating from all that blowing on it, you're okay. You're a champ. Talking about Freeland, and it looks like there was a coordinated and malicious activity that was targeting Chrystia Freeland's campaign. And she, for people who aren't aware, she's trying to run to be the leader of the Liberal Party, which will in turn be the Prime Minister of Canada for some period of time. And according to Rapid Response Mechanism Canada, love that name. This is an umbrella under Global Affairs Canada, I believe. The activity has been traced to a WeChat account linked to the Chinese government. I don't know who the heck uses WeChat in Canada, aside from, you know.
Well, you know who. Yeah, there's a number of people who probably use it. None of the good news.
There was a statement that was released that said the launch of this information operation was traced to WeChat's most popular news account, an anonymous blog that was previously linked by experts at the China Digital Times to the People's Republic of China. RRM Canada identified over 30 WeChat news accounts taking part in the campaign. The campaign received very high levels of engagement and views. And so Freeland, to her part, she came out and tried to show like she's stronger than all this. There may be an attack going against her by the Chinese Communist Party. And she says that she's not being intimidated by this Chinese foreign interference, nor will she be angry that they're not operating any police stations here. But that's just, I guess, a sub either way. But China getting involved in the Liberal Party election is rather concerning, because who would they be trying to back? Maybe somebody with the last name with C. That's maybe leading. Who the heck knows? But if that's the case, then what do we have here? Foreign interference in a political party election, which will ultimately decide who will be the Prime Minister of Canada, albeit for a short period of time. That, if anything, we should be wondering what the heck's going on here. We should be blowing whistles and saying enough is enough. But you know what? This seems to not get much traction. I haven't heard very much about it.
You haven't heard much about it because Cooper's got it locked behind a paywall. The other reason I would say is that I think Sam Cooper, first of all, Sam Cooper's a great journalist. He's uncovering a lot of stuff and has uncovered a lot of stuff, especially related to Chinese interference and fentanyl shipping and handling and all these different things that are now mainstream concerns by elected politicians, even though for ostensibly a decade or so, these people pretended that none of these things were happening. That aside, I think Cooper is flooding the zone a bit. And so that's probably why it's not being covered that widely. And the other reason you kind of mentioned in passing or touched on, no one really cares about Freeland's campaign. You know, people are watching Carney's campaign. You know, Carney, the anointed one, is probably going to run away with the nomination. And so, you know, the bigger question, and you noted it there, is why are they targeting Freeland and not Carney? Well, because they want Carney to win. Like, it's not that hard to figure out. And we got to stop pretending that things are, you know, too complicated for us to understand. You can clearly see here that Carney is not being affected. You can clearly see here that Carney is enjoying quite an astroturfing of support on Twitter and on YouTube. And, you know, these are the same people that buy bot farms and operate sort of not so clandestine like and retweet operations and ask how your trade is going. And so to see this now, it's pretty standard, I think. And, you know, I don't know what you think about all this WeChat stuff, but there's a lot of talk about banning TikTok here. How is WeChat flown under the radar? WeChat is a true like Chinese party app, tracks payments, tracks messages, tracks all kinds of stuff. It's one thing to have like a dancing 22-year-old girl, you know, grab the attention of every single Canadian male and talk about how that's rotting the brains of the population. But at least the 22-year-old girl is not grabbing my bank account number, you know, and watching who I send money to and sending Canadian / CCP quote unquote community police to my house to talk to me about the things I said on WeChat. Like, that's the app that should be banned. And that it's not being banned, I think, is another signpost. You know, there's a reason for that. You can decide what that is. I've told you what I think it is. And it's all stuff that, you know, you just add it to the pile of data, I think, is the thing you should do if you're Canadian.
Ruby Della, baby. Ruby Della.
Yeah, where's her WeChat story? Did you get your I'm a registered liberal, as you know. Did you get your email about the leadership debate and vote? The debate's next week, 24th.
I'm not a liberal, so I didn't get it.
I just got, the Liberal Party sent me a message. They try to sound cool in the message. I'll read it to you. It says, hi, it's LPC. That's dumb, but whatever. With a waving emoji. Our Liberal leadership candidates will debate on the 24th and 25th. Help set the stage by sharing which topics are top of mind. And then it gives you a predetermined list. Number one on the list, Len, 2SLGBTQI+ rights and inclusion. Somehow, I doubt that these guys have figured out that the Canadian public is tired of this stuff, but we'll see what the debates bring next week.
It's number one because it's the most important for the people that are running. Okay, let's talk about this Lockbit ransomware stuff because there was some news over there. Australia, United Kingdom, and United States have sanctioned something called Bulletproof Hosting, BPH. It almost sounds like a altcoin. And this is a Russian service provider. And apparently they have been doing some naughty things because they have some links to the Lockbit ransomware attacks that's been going on. But sanctioning, whatever. They're saying that the sanction is going to hurt this company in the end because it's going to be harder for them to do business. But really, I want to just focus on this aspect more than anything else. Not really the Lockbit story or the sanctioning. Like, it's just like, it's like a whack-a-mole thing, right? Like, now this company, how difficult would it be for them to spin up a new company that's going to get around these sanctions? Or they operate in new jurisdictions with totally different name and totally different people that are behind it.
Yeah.
Still,
yeah.
Very much. So, like, again, like, it's a whack-a-mole thing. Like, it sounds good that they're sanctioning this company. And it sounds good they're trying to get to the bottom of all this. But more than anything, it's just all reactionary. And they're never going to be able to totally root out this problem. It's going to exist. It's like a weed that exists in your garden. You accept it's there. You just got to go there every couple of days to clean her out. But this is just an example of that, right? Like, I have a garden. I've never had it weed free anytime. It's like you just have to always go there every couple of days and clean out the new weeds that show up. But this is the same problem here. So yeah, it sounds great, but really it's just a lot of nothing.
I tend to agree with you. Like, it even mentions, there's like a little bit in the article about do anti-Russian sanctions work. Probably not, like you said. What else is there to say? You're constantly fighting this uphill battle against people who are ostensibly very bright and have the tools to pump out these different, ways to get after you on every level. We've talked about cloud in the past, personal home computing. We had a mobile story earlier. There's all these things are constantly happening. And so the idea that, you're gonna wind up stopping them through a sanction is wrong. We'll talk about an easy DNS product in a bit, but this is why if you have a website or are doing hosting, okay, you need something like DomainShare and someone like Mark running your back end. Because if you don't have that, you're relying on this whack-a-mole game that cannot be won. And you'll get like little celebratory, news releases and press conferences from governments and security teams and whatever. But let's face it, Len, it's a veneer, basically, more than anything else. It's just not gonna work. It's never worked. And like everyone, no matter how technical or non-technical you are, realizes that it's getting harder to do this over time. And pretty soon you won't even see these news releases. They'll be sort of purposeless, there's no reason to ever do them.
It's like having the best record in preseason. Looks great on paper. When push comes to shove, it means absolutely nothing.
You're the leading rusher on a 4-win team. Thank you. Good job.
You ever hear Omni GPT?
No, is this this sounds like Omni GPT sounds honestly like something a hip priest would try and work into a homily when talking about the way that you talk to the Lord in your free time. First thing I thought of. Like that some priest with too many leather bracelets on will tell you that this is like super, Jesus is super cool. He's like Omni GPT. I could see it, I could see
Well,
it. I went to church when I was a kid. I could imagine that.
According to Google, I have never heard of this before. It is a cutting-edge AI-powered platform aiming to elevate productivity by integrating advanced AI capabilities into everyday tasks. So there you go. That's what it is. That's what it claims to
That
be.
sounds like it's GPT came from a chatbot, that
Yeah, well,
definition.
they probably did it itself. And so apparently they have been compromised and data has been stolen. And 30,000 user emails, telephone numbers, and more than 34 million lines of user conversations have been stolen. I'm wondering what people have been asking it. If it's simply just asking for lines of code to do something, that's one thing. But how many people talk to these things and trying to get information that may be exposing themselves, like the inner sanctions of their own being, and they're talking to right? And like, because today's world, people are less likely to have human interaction and more likely to converse with a computer. Well,
I'm
anyways,
with you. I think you're right. I think there's something to that.
so this could be really damning to an individual, depending on what it is they're asking or talking to the computer about. But not only that, login credentials, billing information, and API keys may have been stolen as well. And the API keys would grant access to third-party services or personal accounts if it's used in the right or wrong way, depending on how you look at it. So, Omni GPT, how much longer before they offer the free 1-year credit monitoring service? Although there's no credit card per se that's been stolen here, but still, they have to provide something. And I'm hoping that people that have been signing up to this and other things, they use a dummy email address, like one that they tend not to use. It just, try to use more than one email address when you're signing up to something. I know it's more challenging in the end, but it really, if there's ever something that's compromised, it gives you a little bit more protection in the end. But with respect to this potential compromise and stealing of data, Omni GPT has said absolutely nothing. Squat, zilch. There's no official response regarding the alleged breach. So who knows what's going on? And too bad for the people that are impacted.
Yeah, how, we're seeing more and more of these stories, like we're putting all these questions and chat lines into these bots. When I think about my chat history with like Gemini or Grok or whatever, if you didn't know that I did, this podcast in CBP, there'd be questions like, why is this guy thinking about things that destabilize governments? Why is this guy thinking about times that currency experiments have failed? Why is this guy trying to figure out whether or not, certain social mores have led to the collapse of greater societies than ours over the past, you know, 5,000 years. It's an interesting thing to be Googling and grokking and chat GPTing or whatever. And the more you do it, you know, the more likely that you're going to show up in a search result on 4chan somewhere. Like, look at this guy. He's thinking about toppling a government. We've got to get to this guy's house. You know, right?
I use it extensively the past week, but I'm ashamed to say I've been using it to do scripting in Google Sheets. And I use this in a way so that I can easily do stuff. Because I didn't want to code it, so they just spit out the code, and it almost worked almost all the time. I had to go back a few times and say that it didn't work, and it said, oh, you're correct, and it gave me the correct code. But, yeah, like, that's the best thing I find it for, is for just basic coding. But anyways, let's talk about this last story. This is an edition by Mark, and this is a story that's on accessofeasy.com. And it's a discussion about, or it's highlighting this fake work from home stuff, and people are being given opportunities to work from home, and these opportunities are fake. And because if you look what's going on, people are losing money. And how could you lose money from a work from home thing? Well, the way it boils down to, like, it's a scam that involves a stablecoin, and people are, in order to earn money through these work from home things, you're supposed to do certain tasks, and you do these tasks online, and you then are rewarded with money, but you can't withdraw it until you reach a certain threshold. So for example, say you have accumulated around $70 of USDT, which is a stablecoin, US dollar Tether, then in order to withdraw, you have to have $100. So you have to deposit $30 to then get your $70. So people do that and they get duped because it's just a total scam. So
amazing. All it is amazing. It's incredible.
If it sounds too good to be true, it probably is. If they're asking you for money, it's gone if you ever give it up. So, like, people just need to do their homework. But it's written here that some people even lost between $65,000 Canadian dollars. How? I know that there's even some addresses that was referenced for Bitcoin. It's like, how? Like, you got to be a real stooge to trust people to give up money, large sums of money, and to think that you could work from home and just do these tasks online and get paid for it. Nobody gets paid for these things. You're paying them, in fact. And yeah, don't be a stooge.
Unless it's The Witcher 3, you shouldn't be starting any missions on anything electronic. The best thing about this, and Mark has some screenshots in the article, it's nuts. Like, the first iMessage or iPhone, like, screen capture: "Hello, my name is Monica, recruiter at DSL. We came across your profile through several online recruitment platforms and were impressed by your background and experience. We're currently offering a flexible part-time opportunity that you can work on in your free time." There's a whole bunch more here. Straightforward, $3,000, blah, blah, blah. The best thing is at the top of the iPhone, it tells you where the message came from, and it says Siri found a contact for this person. It says Monica. And then the email is yunzishan868@hotmail.com. Does that sound to you like someone who might be named Monica?
It sounds legit to me.
You know, totally. Like, the most basic filters, these people are failing. They're failing. And, like, it's unbelievable. Unbelievable. And then there's so many good, there's other good screenshots here of, like, people who noted that this person is a task scammer. Verona, the task scammer. What's more embarrassing? Is it more
to have them reverse this because it's
God, I know. Is it more embarrassing to fall for the Nigerian prince scam or this? I would say this, honestly.
It's pretty equal in my opinion. Have you received, like, it's been ages since I've gotten any emails from the
Nigerian. My phone and my email filters everything now. So I hardly ever see stuff like this. Even on Twitter, like, there's actually sometimes I go into my Twitter filtered or blocked DMs, and I find stuff there that I would have liked to have seen and reply to the stuff, like, you know, a month later sometimes, which I hate for the people who are sending me messages that are of value to me, but I don't know what else to do. Like, and it's better this way, honestly, because, you know, we talked about whack-a-mole earlier. This is the same thing. You can imagine, we just did that story last week of the kid who was, like, basically trapped in a scam farm or whatever. Like this is more and
that
more of this stuff.
Guy, Dubai, I think it was. Yeah.
If he had just gotten one of these guys for $65K, he would have been out of there by now. But he's in the wrong scam.
Maybe he had
to be in this scam,
right? Like, I know it was a totally different story because he was talking about this dating, online dating. But maybe they're branching. Yeah. Anyways, that's it.
God, what a mess. Good week. Good week. That's it. ISIS of Easy 387, latest and the greatest data breach and overreach in. If you enjoyed that, I'm sure you did if you hung around this long, subscribe to the newsletter, subscribe to the podcast, YouTube, all that good stuff. Every week it comes out. Thursday night we record, Friday night you get it. And yeah, if you have any comments, as always, you know, send them into Mark, because we don't see them. So that's all there is to that. And until next week, take care of yourselves.